Okay, we started out just kind of overview of the book of Hosea last week. Gave you some studies for chapters 1 through 3, but I missed a lot of stuff, and I'm going back over it and looking at it. And so I made another one for chapters 1 through 3. This actually is mostly Hosea chapter 1, but I don't know, there's 4 pages of questions, but I spaced them well apart so you would have room to write in between the answers. You look confused.
That's okay. Carry on.
Okay, who are we talking about tonight?
Hosea.
Hosea, yeah. Yeah, it's one of the very few books named after the person who wrote it. Not too many of them. But Hosea, he wrote the book, and it was named after him, Hosea. What country did he live in? What country was he born in?
Northern Israel.
He was born in Israel. Where did he prophesy? Prophesied in Israel, didn't he? Yeah. Okay. What king was the ruler of that country when Hosea worked?
Jeroboam the second.
Jeroboam.
The second.
The second. Yeah. Jeroboam the second. You know, did you, in your research, did you find out or run across what number of kings he was? What number of king he was? How many kings were there in Israel altogether? Anybody know?
Ten?
I'm sorry?
Was it 10 or 12? More than that.
19. There were 19 kings, and
none of them good.
You just answered my question. I was going to say, how many good ones were there? Wasn't 19 kings, and Israel lasted 209 years. It had 19 kings. But after Jeroboam the second died, they had a bunch of murders. I think they had 4 kings in 1 year. One king would rise, and he'd last a month, and then he'd get murdered, and then they'd have another king, and he did last 3 months, and he was assassinated. But they went through 4 kings in 1 year. So Israel lasted a total of 209 years. Jeroboam the second was number 13 of the 19 kings. What other prophets were contemporary?
Amos.
I'm sorry?
Amos.
Okay, Amos was one.
Joel.
Isaiah. There's a question mark about Joel. Some people think that he was contemporary in this time period. But there's a lot of people that think he was more in the 200 to 300 BC era, and they kind of throw him all around. But there are some people who think that Joel is contemporary. But anybody else besides
Jeremiah?
No.
No. Isaiah.
Isaiah is the other one.
Ezekiel, was he?
And Micah. I'm sorry?
Was Ezekiel?
No.
Micah.
No. Just the three. two with a Joel a question mark. So anyway, Isaiah and Amos. And we'll be studying Amos as we go along. He's another one of what we call the minor prophets. And Mm-hmm. Amos was born in Israel, but prophesied in Judea. Is that right?
What question?
He said Amos was born in Judea, but prophesied in Judah. Amos was born in Israel, but prophesied in Judea. Is that correct? In Judah. It's not?
Not according to this book that I have. It said that Amos and Hosea prophesied to Israel, the northern kingdom, and Isaiah and Micah were contemporaries who prophesied to Judea, the southern kingdom.
Oh, just the opposite.
I don't know.
He was born in Judah, but prophesied about Israel. Oh. I just threw that in there backwards to see if I could get it. All right. He was born in a small town about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. So, anyway, he was born in Judah, but prophesied about Israel. How about Isaiah? Did I tell you no about Isaiah? I think I did, didn't I? You said Isaiah.
You said yes. You said no about Jeremiah and Ezekiel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Isaiah. Okay. How about Isaiah? Where did he prophesy? And where was he born?
Israel. Judea.
He was born in both.
Born
in Judea. Yeah. He was born. Preached in Judea. That's what I meant to say. Yeah, born in two different places.
He was born in Judea and he prophesied about Judea, didn't he? God commanded Hosea to what?
Marry a harlot, which is weird.
Take a wife.
A tainted woman.
Of harlotry.
I'm sorry?
Take a wife of harlotry.
Okay.
And then have kids.
Okay.
And give them really weird names so they feel good about themselves. But I'm sure you didn't provide them a room with milk and cookies and coloring books.
He married Gomer.
Hosea was commanded by, who told him to go marry Gomer?
God.
God told him that?
Yes.
Okay. And who was this lady?
Gomer.
I'm sorry?
Gomer.
Yeah, her name was Gomer, kind of an oddball name, but maybe common back in those days. But I don't know any women around. I've never known any women named Gomer, so probably not a very popular name.
You only know of Gomer Pyle, right?
Yeah, but that's not a woman.
No.
Okay, so he was told to go marry a hooker, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, she was, but I don't know.
Well, yeah. I don't know. There's some questions in there thrown back and forth. Was she a prostitute when he married her? Did he marry her and then she became unfaithful? To him, so it's not an important concept, we know that one way or the other, she was not a faithful wife. She went out and pursued other men, and I can't figure out how in the world she ended up owing those men when she was prostituting herself. I thought she was the one that's supposed to get paid, but she ends up... We'll find out later that Hosea goes and ransoms her and pays her debt that she owed to these people that she ran off with.
Maybe she just wasn't a very successful harlot.
Well, that's a possibility.
Her overhead was more than...
I don't know. But it's really strange that God would do something like this, wouldn't it? And we'll find the answer to that as we go along. Who was Jezreel?
What guy?
Oh, sorry, I'm not your teacher.
I'm sorry.
Her son.
His first son. I was just going to comment back on what you said before.
Go ahead.
It says that God told him to go take a wife of harlotry, but wouldn't she already have been a harlot?
Well, that some of them say that, yeah.
Yes. How can it be any other way?
I'm sorry?
How can it be? I was thinking that same thing. He is to marry a harlot, promiscuous woman, so she was obviously that way.
Yeah, you know, I agree there, but I would just say that there is some question as to whether, you know, some experts don't know for sure whether she was in the profession when he married her or not.
Actually, if you think about that, that's kind of ridiculous because she represents Israel in all
that's
this dialogue.
That's exactly
and
true.
Israel was already in that situation, and Hosea's saying, you know, this is like a parable or a, what's it, one of the other words? I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't take my privileges, so.
So, but anyway, the whole reason behind that, we'll dig into that a little bit as we go along. But the whole idea is that God is comparing this marriage and the harlotry to what Israel was doing and how she has forsaken God. So he's doing this comparison. How this would turn out over 25 years, I don't know. I think Hosea prophesied for about 25 years. So how this would play out and how people would recognize this, I don't know. But Hosea is prophesying all this time in the reign of Jeroboam to second and shortly thereafter as well. So I don't know if people saw this and saw the comparison. Maybe Hosea told them, oh, this is why. But anyway, he was trying to make it known. God was making it known to the people of Israel that this is what they look like in his sight. So who was Jezreel?
Their first son.
He was a son of Edom. And he was also a symbolic son of Hosea.
Who was that?
Jezreel.
Jezreel? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, why did God have him call him by the name Jezreel?
I just had it that it means God scatters or God sows, and it's a judgment on the land and people of Israel and the restoration of people of Israel to their own land.
Okay, that's a good point. What else?
And for what? A punishment on the house of Jehu?
Jehu.
For the bloodshed of, I'm assuming Jezreel Senior, or like... But there was another Jezreel, not this son of Jezreel. That's kind of what I was thinking.
It was a country.
Jezreel. Right?
Jezreel.
Okay, so maybe that's where...
Jezreel was the... capital city of Israel, and it's set up on a hillside, and there was a valley out in front of the city, and it was a valley of Jezreel. What happened there that that in the valley of Jezreel that has caused God to name this son Jezreel?
That's where Gideon defeated the Ammonites and the Midianites.
I don't know. That very well might be true. I know there were a number of battles there. That's where Saul died and his sons, Jonathan and his sons, died there in the Valley of Jezreel when they were battling the Philistines.
Is this where they
worshipped the males and sacrificed kids.
Yep.
That's true. And this is what Israel did, of course. They had their gods that they sacrificed to and did all that. One thing that I forgot to check out, and we'll see about it, read about it, it's about cakes of raisins. Did you guys run across that? Raisin cakes?
And they are really good, too. I've made them.
That's what they sacrificed to Baal.
I think that's it. I think that that's what they sacrificed to Baal. Okay, it's kind of interesting. I ran across that, and I didn't have a chance to research it any. Jezreel. What was the sin of Jehu? And why is God going to take revenge upon the house of Jehu? What did he do wrong?
He killed a lot of people. He just went on a rampage, I'm assuming.
Didn't Jehu kill David's son, Absalom?
No.
He killed Ahab and Jezebel.
Jezebel.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
So I was doing some other stuff, research or whatever, and this guy, he was during the time of the Bloody Revolution, and he killed, like, Zechariah and Shalom and Menahem. Weren't those other prophets?
No, I've not run across those names, but they sound good.
Well, he was supposed to do a bunch of the killing, if I remember right.
Okay.
But he was not...
Remember, he was a soldier.
He was supposed to do good.
In the Israeli army.
He
was a soldier under Ahab. Yeah. And while he was sitting with a group of his men, a prophet came by. Doesn't tell who he was, anything like that. But a prophet came by and grabbed and said, "I need to talk to Jehu." So they got up and they went into the house. And this prophet took a bottle of oil and poured it on Jehu's head and said, "You're going to be king of Israel, but God wants you to destroy the house of Ahab." Now, one of the reasons why Ahab was so nasty and evil, remember, I always wondered about, you know, a guy with this kind of power would sulk because the next door neighbor to him would not sell him his property. Naboth. And he had a vineyard, and Ahab wanted it, and because he wouldn't sell it to him, he went and sulked.
Cried.
Like a spoiled kid, you know. Yeah. And guess who was his wife?
Jezebel.
Jezebel. Yeah.
So she took care of it.
Yeah. Well, she said, "Well, you know, why don't you kill him?" You know, so what they do, they said that he blasphemed, and so they stoned him to death, and Ahab got the field. Well, that was one of the crimes that he was going to pay for, and Jehu was going to be the one to make him pay. But also Jezebel, which is the house of Ahab, she killed a bunch of prophets, didn't she? She slaughtered a bunch of prophets in the land, so that was held against him as well. So Jehu was told to go and wipe out the house of Ahab. So how did he do that? Well, Jehu started out, Ahab was killed in a battle, so he started driving towards the palace, and Jezebel's son, Ahab's son, what was his name? Jehoram? Okay. Anyway, he saw him coming, so he sent out a scout. Scout never came back. Sent a second scout out. He never came back. So he said, "Well, let's go out and see who it is." I can't remember who, it was the king of Judah, was with him, had come to see him, because Jehoram had been wounded in battle and was recovering, and the king of Judah came to see him to check on him and visit him, and they got in their respective chariots and went out to see who this was coming. And Jehoram or Jehoram, and there's another name for it there. But anyway, he asked Jehu, "Will you come in peace?" And Jehu said, "Not as long as the family of Ahab rules, Jezebel is alive and well." So the guy turns around, he realizes it's a trap, so he turns around and takes off. Jehu shot him with an arrow and killed him. So there went the king of Israel. At the same time, he chased the king of Judah and wounded him. And he went to Megiddo and died there. So Jehu followed God's instructions. He killed the son of Ahab, who was the king of Israel. When he went up to the palace, Jezebel made her face up, put eyelashes on, and painted her face and all that stuff, and leaned out the window and talked to Jehu. What did he? What did he do? Yeah, he said, told the guys to pitch her out the window, and it says her blood splashed on the rocks. He rode his horses over. What happened to her body?
God's
head. All they found was the feet and the hands. Everything else was gone. Yeah. So the dogs took care of her. Well, that ended Jezebel. That was part of the house of Ahab. Now what Jehu do? He gathered all the family of Ahab. Ahab had 70 sons. They were located in Jezreel. Valley. So what did he do? He had all 70 of those sons beheaded. Well, that's what God told him to do, and God said, "Hey, you did a good job." But the problem is, he killed the king of Judah, which he wasn't authorized to do. He also killed all the friends, relatives, everybody that was even remotely connected with Ahab and Jezebel. He killed them all. And on top of that, the king that he killed before from Judah, his family came by, 37 of them. They were coming to visit. Jehu killed them too. Well, what happened then? They killed this young king Ahaziah, that's his name, I couldn't remember. Ahaziah was killed. Who was his mother? She became the only queen that the king of Judah.
Athaliah.
Yeah. Well, was she good or bad?
She was
bad. Yeah. Bad. Guess what? She was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. So what did she promptly do when she found out that her son was dead? She was going to seize power, so she killed all the royal family and gained control. So there are some more people that were kind of indirectly responsible, died because of what Jehu did. He just got a little exuberant. And he just was wiping people out left and right. Was that what God told him to do? God told him to take care of the house of Ahab. Didn't tell him to. And I think that's the reason why he talks about the sins of Jehu and it'll be visited on his house in Jezreel. And so kind of reminded me of Saul. Remember Saul, whenever he was a king, God told him to take care of the Midianites, go down there and wipe them out, kill everything. Man, woman, child, animals, everything. So when he comes back, he brings the sheep and also the king. So he kind of lost his head as well, too, and added on to what God said. But that's kind of interesting. So we know about Gomer's first son and why he was named Jesse. Verse 7, God said he will show mercy to Judah and save them. How do you do that?
Was it because that was the lineage of Christ? Because it came from Judah? And Judah was given mercy and deliverance from God where the north never recovered. But did he do that because that's where the lineage of Christ came?
It was a promise he made to David.
Well, how did he say he was going to show mercy to Judah and save them? How do you save them? To say he didn't, he wouldn't save them by battle or?
Oh, well, no bows, no arrow, no.
No bows and arrows and swords and whatnot?
Swords, yeah.
How did, do you remember how he
I will have compassion on Judah.
Yeah.
For the Lord is a God.
Hosea prophesied during the reign of four different kings in Judah. The last king that he prophesied in was the kingdom called Hezekiah. And what do we know about Hezekiah? Remember that he, who came south? Sennacherib, the Syrian king. And he brought an army against Judah, Jerusalem. And remember what God did? He brought an angel of death and killed 180,000 Syrian soldiers. It wasn't a rock thrown, it wasn't an arrow shot, no bows. God did it all. And Sennacherib, of course, picked up what he had left of his army and went back to Nineveh, and his sons killed him. There. So, anyway, that is how God saved Judah during the time of Hezekiah. You guys read chapter 2? What is God talking about there?
The restoration of Israel.
Okay.
And his unfaithful people.
Yeah, Israel was leaving God, or left God, and was being evil. It's incredible the list of things that they were doing. Does this apply to us today?
I was reading that in some other stuff that I had gotten a hold of, and it sounds just like what we're doing today.
Yeah.
And there was no difference.
Nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, I remember one line in The Godfather, when Michael had come back, he met what's her name by the car, and he said our family's going to be straight and, you know, have my dad's not any different from any other powerful man. She said, well, senators and governors don't have people killed. And Michael says, now who's being naive?
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of that stuff going on. We just don't hear about it. Like this, what's this guy that what did you name that hung himself in the jail cell? Jeffrey Epstein.
He didn't hang himself.
And the cameras weren't working, and the guards taking a nap, and all that stuff. And, but their lists have come out. Mr. Clinton was one of the people named on it. And, but lots of them, like, apparently were on that. Any one of them could have ordered their death or his death. But, you know, so we know that that stuff is going on. Look how many kids and babies are murdered every year at abortions and things like that. And that's been, you know, people actually fight for that. For that right. It's just...
they don't know God.
Yeah, no. So it's really sad to see this stuff, but our country's not any different. And, you know, we see it from day to day that, you know, the church attendance has gone down to nothing, not only here locally, but everywhere. Congregations are suffering, and not only Church of Christ people, but everybody else is talking about people leaving their churches, not attending anymore. So, you know, it's an uphill battle for us all the time, isn't it? And
the electronic preachers are not having any problem.
I'm sorry?
The electronic preachers are not having any problem.
Yeah.
Their audiences are really big. Yeah. The promising things are not even in the Bible.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I have a friend of mine who belongs to some big church group up off 18th Street up here. And you know, they always talk about all the good things and have fun and, you know, live life to its fullest and good news and all that stuff.
Coffee and donuts.
Yeah. And he said, yeah, we've got 3,000 people up there.
Yeah.
Well, sure, you're always going to tell good news, you know, but you don't talk about the consequences of your shortcomings.
And you don't have to do anything to be saved.
Oh, no.
You know?
Yeah, all you have to do is believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That,
pray the sinner's prayer.
Yeah,
that's not
Graham
the Bible
was
either.
On TV tonight,
Billy Graham's son.
Yeah, his son.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen that about three times lately.
Yeah.
He's on it every day.
And then call me.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys would be interested in it or not, but on Channel 4, if you get Comcast, Channel 4 on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock was program for a half hour called In Search of the Lord's Way. And it's Phil Sanders, and it's put on by the Edmond Church of Christ in Edmond, Oklahoma. It comes on at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. Excellent, excellent program. And he doesn't mince words. He lays it out there. And but he's an excellent speaker. They have some congregational singing as well.
Oh, we can stay home on Sunday.
That means you can watch it while you're getting dressed, and then you can make it to church.
We'll meet at your house.
Oh, that's all right too. I don't have much furniture in there anymore, do we? We've packed up all the furniture we can do without. And I kind of misinterpreted what the realtor said, so I started packing up all the stuff we had in drawers. And so Sharon says, I can't find it. I packed it up.
She'll just have to go out and find it.
So anyway, okay. Chapter 3, God told Hosea to what?
Have another wife.
Buy Gomer back.
Yeah, go buy your wife back. She owed some debts, and so.
15 shekels of silver and 1.5 omers of barley.
Yeah.
Barley's good.
Yeah.
That was the price of a slave.
Mm-hmm. Well, how, you know, I, of course, Bob's the only one here tonight, so. But I could still throw the question, how many men would do something like this? Would we do that?
Somebody who fears God.
Yeah.
Tell me the significance of loving raisin cakes.
Well, I think the raisin cakes, I didn't get a chance to research that. Somebody said something about it.
Was it Bob?
Yeah, it was Bob said that they offered it to Baal. Raisin cakes was one of the sweet things they offered. But they had everything, those temples. They burnt their children in the fires. They had male and female prostitutes that hung out in the temples. Burnt their children up. That's inconceivable to me. Even the kings did that.
Yeah.
You know, so it was pretty incredible. So he gave silver and grain. It'd be kind of tough if you had a wife that did that. But apparently he loved her. And he was willing to go to any lengths possible. I know that his first son, as far as we know, Jezreel, was his. Don't know about the other two. But God used him as an example all the time. So in chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. What do these verses refer to? Let's read them.
You want somebody to read it?
Verses 3, 4, and 5. People of Israel. No, I'm sorry. That chapter. In the same way, Israel will live many days without a king or leader. And we'll go back to verse 2. So I bought Gomer for 6 ounces of silver and about 10 bushels of barley. Then I told her, you must wait for me for many days. You must not be a prostitute. You must not be any other man's lover. I, in turn, will wait for you. In the same way, Israel will live many days without a king or a leader. They will not have sacrifices or holy stone pillars. They will be without the holy vest or an idol. After this, the people of Israel will return to the Lord their God. They will follow the Lord and the king from David's family. In the last days, they will come to the Lord and he will bless them. What's he talking about there? That Israel's going to come back, they're going to join Judah.
Well, they need to be faithful to God, so no more idols, no more rebelling behavior, no wickedness. And I mean, it's kind of, it, which equals what Hosea and Gomer, like, we're not going to touch each other or have, you know, whatever, being that we're, because I need to earn your trust back, basically is what I thought it was. And then so basically until you can show God that you are for him by being faithful, loving, and showing compassion, then you can return to, you know, your glory.
Does this foretell the coming of the Messiah?
Kind of. That's kind of where I was. Captivity of Israel equals the return to God, which equals Christ to come.
And where's Christ going to come from? What lineage?
Judah.
Lineage of David.
David. Lineage of David. Yeah.
So I have a question of everybody here. Do your Bibles name Gomer in the third chapter as Hosea's new wife? because this American Standard does not, and I don't recall the one that I turned into the library accidentally. I don't think my American
doesn't
Standard.
Either. Mine doesn't either. Mine James, New King James.
It just says her. Yeah.
Mine yeah. says show your love to your mm-hmm. wife.
This
again.
One says.
This, wife this wife? One says wife just again. It says go again. Again, so it makes you yeah. think that it's.
Yeah, love a woman who is loved by her lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel. Go again, yeah.
Mine says loved by her husband and is yet an adulterer.
Homer Haley calls her the wife of whoredom.
That's right. That's yeah.
yours says.
That's in some of the books. Yeah. yeah. Some of the.
So she does represent Israel.
Yep.
Yep.
And you wouldn't
but
think
it doesn't necessarily follow that it has to be the same woman, because Israel went away for many, many different reasons and came back to the Lord and went away and came back.
Yeah.
That's the whole history of Israel falling away.
Yeah, they ever since Jeroboam broke off with the 10 tribes, they never were faithful. Even Jehu. He did all the things and was directly in contact with God, and yet he still went the sins of Jeroboam. He did Israel sin. He never did, didn't bounce back.
Does it say that he had more than one wife?
Who's that?
Hosea.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
It says he had more than one wife?
I didn't know
that.
He married
twice.
Where's that?
So it says, go again and love a woman. It doesn't say, go get your old wife. It's just, so I think we're reading something into it if we try to say that.
I have a footnote over here that mentions Gomer's name attached to that verse, but. I mean, that doesn't mean
anything. Okay, yeah, I had the advantage of me there.
Did he have more than one wife, yes or no?
No.
Okay.
I think it probably refers to Gomer.
So he did have more than one wife.
I think it refers to Gomer.
How do we know?
Yeah.
That doesn't say that he did.
Didn't say he did either. That's one of those things that really doesn't matter.
It really doesn't
matter.
Because it matters if we put it in there. Because I find that happening a lot these days with the different translations that we use.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't read like the Bible I'm familiar with.
So who is the her? He would be okay. So mine says, "Show your love to your wife again." To me, that says Gomer because that's the only wife we're even reading about in these three chapters. If it is not Gomer, and yours says her, who is the her to you?
Well, it could be. Anyone. There were many gods that the Israelites worshipped. Baal and Chemaroth and Ashtaroth and a whole bunch of them.
This says, to illustrate his intentions, which is God's intention to redeem Israel, the Lord instructed Hosea to reclaim Gomer, his unfaithful wife. Gomer had become the property of another man, and Hosea's purchase of Gomer symbolizes God's great devotion, which moves him to seek reconciliation, even if it means subjecting himself to humiliation. So, Philippians 2:8.
And I would guess that God's faithfulness would be shown by going back and taking the same woman, just like he would take Israel back. He's not taking another nation back.
Symbolically.
He's taking Israel back. The second time, so I think that's where you read it in, but it definitely doesn't have her name.
And it could be Philemon 2:8 instead of Philippians 2:8. I understand your point. Yes, we do that. We do that. So I'm not discounting that.
Yeah.
I just was trying to understand your point.
I understand.
I agree with you.
I'm not picking on anybody.
Oh, I know.
I just have a hobby horse.
I agree with you because so many different translations, to me, they add to subtract sometimes.
Well,
yeah. In chapter 2, it does talk about the resurrection of Israel. It just goes on down.
Yeah.
starts the conversation.
Yep. Nice conversation, though.
Yeah.
Okay, that's about all I got. Any questions for tonight?